to our service this evening. Thank you for being here. We do have visitors, and we're thankful for your presence. Delighted to have you here with us on this day, the Lord's Day, this day of worship. And I'm glad that we have this afternoon that we could come together and to worship God in spirit and truth with singing songs and studying His Word. This afternoon, as I thought about mothers this past week leading up to today, I thought about what do mamas do? You know, what? And the list is too long to be able to read to say everything they do. And, you know, but thinking about what I see from being a child from my mother, and also seeing now from the father's perspective of what all my wife does for our two boys, you know, it can be tiresome just even from the outside looking in. And mamas do a lot. And Levi will come and he'll say, Mama, itch my back. You know, Mama, I need drink. I'm thirsty. Mama, I need food. Mama, my foot hurts. Mama, you know, and it's just Mama, I need this, I need that. They do everything they can. And in so many ways, a mother is, serves beyond what she should have to do. And looking at it from my wife, that's what makes her the happiest. It's when she's able to do something for her boys that nobody else can do, that I can't do. And she just, they'll call for Mama, you know, across the room. And she's able to serve them. And the joy that brings her, and that looking at my mother and her saying, you know, I'm just glad I was able to do some of the things for you that I could do, and do everything that I could do for you. I'm glad that I could serve you as my kid. And when I think about that being the reflection of who Jesus was and who he was when he came to this earth to serve others rather than to be served. And in our supplement book, we sing number 97, and it's called the Servant's Song. And that's kind of what I wanted to circle everything around this afternoon, is looking at the servant song of what Jesus was and showing us what a servant is and how we should live all as servants, not just mothers, but fathers, brothers, sisters, and above all things, the brothers and sisters in Christ, serving one another and in serving God. We're going to sing a couple of songs at the beginning of this, talking about our service to God and our work that we have to do. And so if you would, please join me in the singing of number 297. It may not, maybe. There it goes. I don't know if I changed the battery. I don't know what it was. So, 297. I want to be a worker. They make us a servant, but to make us a servant just like His Son. To make us a servant like Jesus. And so when we make that request to God that you make in me a servant like your Son, do we really understand what we're asking and what we're wanting God to turn us into? Are we biting off more than we could chew, so to speak? Because above all things of what Jesus was, He was a servant in every way. And when you think about Christianity and what that is, while servant is a noun, we think about service and being a servant to others as an action, as a verb, as something that we ought to be doing every day. And so when we think about Jesus being that servant and what a servant is, we think about what's the requirement of a servant. The requirement of a servant is to give something up. Because you're serving someone else. You're giving up maybe your will. And so many times being a servant means you're giving up freedom. In fact, that's exactly what Jesus did in giving up His freedom, His throne. He gave up glory to take the form of a man, to come to earth. He left His Father's side to come to this place, to come to this earth, to be tried, to be tempted as we are tempted, to go through heartache, to go through the loss of a friend, the loss of a loved one, to have Satan tempt Him head on, full force in every way. To be scourged, to be beaten, to be spat on, to be ridiculed, to be made fun of, to die a death on the cross. So when we ask God to make me a servant, just like your Son, are we asking Him to say this, well, I'm willing to give up my freedom to submit to your will, for me to do your will rather than my own? Because that's exactly what Jesus did. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8, he words this so plainly for us to understand. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others, having this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. He gave up the presence of God in heaven to come to earth, to become man, and to become a servant unto man, to become a servant of the Father and to serve us, paying a debt that we could not pay, and doing that for people who would not appreciate it, dying for those and serving those that would ultimately kill him, who hated him, who despised him and rejected him. So when we sing this song, when we say, just like your son, we're saying we will give up the ease and the comforts of life willingly to do things for the unthankful if we truly desire to be like him and to be like Jesus. It's not going to be a job that we get patted on the back a lot. It's not going to be something that people just say, boy, I'm really grateful for you. Until it's over, until it's gone, until you're missed. And so many people are thinking about that from the idea of motherhood. You think, you know, you don't know what you got until it's gone. You take it for granted and you say, you know, I wish I had or I want one more time. Or even just flying away from home, you know, the bird that leaves the nest. And you just go, you know, who's, you know, I thought all them clothes got washed on their own. I just thought, you know, that I take them off and they all just appear back in the drawer clean and folded. You know, I didn't understand somebody was doing all that. I didn't see all that going on. We don't know what we have until, you know, it's not there anymore. And so when we become that servant like God, a lot of times we don't, or like Jesus, we're not appreciated fully at that time. But somebody's seeing that. God's seeing that in heaven. We'll look at that momentarily. But what were some of the ways of which Jesus served men? Well, he washed some feet. A friend of mine who's also a gospel preacher, he was getting ready for a wedding and he asked me, he said, Matt, I got a question for you. I said, all right. He said, have you ever seen a husband wash his wife's feet when they got married? I said, what you talking about? And you know how the candle lighting ceremony, that was a big thing for a while. Like maybe the mother and father, when they walked in, they would light a candle for the husband, you know, the groom. And another father and mother would come in, they would light a candle together for the bride. It was real sweet and romantic. And then they would have a little song that would go on, and they would take those candles and they would light them the candle with each other, the two becoming one. That's so sweet. Haley and I, we did sand. I had my sand and she had her sand, and we poured sand together, and it was us mixing together. It was so sweet and romantic. We set it on the shelf. We set it on the shelf for everybody to see until we had kids, and then those kids just knocked it in the floor everywhere, so we all picked up sand everywhere. And he said, well, it's kind of like all that. He said, it's kind of like the sand. It's kind of like the lighting ceremony. He said, but what they're going to do is they're going to wash each other's feet. I said, they got to be crazy. I said, I've seen some of y'all's feet. Y'all got some nasty feet. You got a toe jam and a bunch of, I hope you get a pedicure before I wash your feet, you know. But Jesus, that was the job of a slave. For the master to be out in the field or to be out working and looking over his crops, looking over the task that he had at hand, for him to come in at the end of the day and to relax and to set his feet up and to prop them up, and for that servant to come and to cleanse his feet, to wash him, rub the blisters, anoint it with oil, give him a foot massage and to ease it. And Jesus in John chapter 13, it is the time right before the Passover. And as we read here, we'll understand a little bit about what Jesus is doing. Us knowing the history of the things that we're going to follow this, understand a little bit better than those disciples did. And it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to his Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power, and that He had come from God and was returning to God. And so He got up from the meal and took off His outer clothing, wrapped a towel around His waist, and after that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash His disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that He wrapped around Him. And He came to Simon Peter and He said to him, "Lord, are You going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand." This one time when Haley was pregnant, I'm gonna get killed for this. I don't tell many people this story, so I will tell everybody. She was talking about how her feet hurt. I mean, I understand. I don't know what it's like to be in that situation, but I mean, I knew it because she'd been complaining about it for 6 weeks, you know, about, and now here she is, she's about 16 months pregnant, and she's ready to have this baby, and she's complaining about her feet hurting and how she's sore, and she can't reach her feet even, so all she's wearing is flip-flops, you know, and she can't reach her feet. She's like, "Man, my feet hurt so bad. They're hurting so bad." And I thought, all right, this one time. So I went and got the big plastic wash tub, you know, the one that you wash your car with, the big bucket. I set her down, and not in the bucket, I set her down on it. I set her down on a chair, and I brought that bucket in there, and I put some hot water in that bucket. I said, "Put your feet up here." She said, "No, no, no, no." And I said, "Come on, put your feet up here." She said, "They're nasty." I said, "I know." I said, "Just, I'm going to clean them." So she takes that foot and props it up there on the edge of that bucket. And y'all, I ain't got a clue what I'm about to do. You know, I've never washed anybody's feet before. I didn't have a clue what I was going to do. So I started to rub her feet, and they started wearing on my hands. They were so rough. So I went out in the garage, and I got the sander, and I come back in the house, and I was going to knock off some of that and start rubbing her feet. But she looked at me, and she said, "What are you doing? What are you going to do, wash my feet? What are you doing?" I said, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do this for you. I don't have a clue what I'm doing, but I'm going to do it. I'm hoping it's going to make you feel better." And I thought about old Peter there, and here's Jesus, the man whom Peter's been walking around and following, holding on to His every word and listening for everything that He says, trusting Him, following Him, knowing this is the Son of God. Some people may say this is John the Baptist. Some may say this is Elijah, one of the other prophets. But I know that this is God's Son. And here He is bowing at my footstool, taking oil and water and rubbing my feet. And Jesus says, "You don't understand this now, but in a little while, you'll get it. You'll understand that this washing your feet is nothing compared to what I'm willing to do for you. There's nothing in comparison to what I'm willing to do to serve you, even lay down my life for you." And Peter said, No, you're not going to wash my feet. You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered and said, "Unless I wash you, you will have no part with me." And then Peter said, Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. I don't want you just to do my feet. I want everything to do with you. I want everything to do with you, Lord. You wash my hands, you wash my head, you wash every part of me, not just my feet alone. So we have a few things we can kind of learn from this. Well, first one, you know, being, of course, we can be like Jesus. And being able to take ourselves, to humble ourselves, to wash somebody's feet, to do what a slave does. Another thing you kind of learn from Peter, kind of unintentionally, maybe, if you will, but allow somebody to do something for you. There's so many people that are saying, "Can we do this? Can we do that? Can we cut your grass? Can we go pick up this? Can we clean up your yard?" And Brother Robert talked about this morning, the young man that would go and paint the inside of a house. Allow somebody to do something for you. I know everyone is saying, "I don't need any help. You know, I've got it. I got it all under control. I don't need you." And it's almost to the point, be humble enough to take help. Be humble enough to let somebody else serve you. Give them that opportunity. Don't rob them of an opportunity to serve because of your pride. So not only do we humble ourselves to help, but we also humble ourselves to receive help. One of the other ways which Jesus was serving was that He taught. He was the rabbi. He was the teacher. And we can teach people God's love through Jesus, whether that's, you know, in the classroom, whether that's publicly, whether it's at work, with our neighbors, in home, with our friends. Just teach other people. But to teach others and serve them as we show them God's love for them through Jesus. Number 387. Number 387, lead me to some soul today. So not only did He teach others, not only did He wash others' feet, but He was willing to do the hard stuff. He was willing to do the things that others wouldn't do. When we sing the song, the servant song, do what must be done. Do what you must do. And I think that's kind of a two-folded meaning. One, asking God to do what He has to do to me. I'm wanting you to change me to be a servant. So whatever that means that I need to do, you make me to do that. And then I think the flip side of it is us saying, I'm going to do what I got to do. There's no job too small. There's no job too big. And that's the slogan of a lot of businesses, you know, that provide a service. No job too big, no job too small. And I think that's exactly the attitude we need to have as Christians. Because you're doing something not for your own sake, but you're doing something for God. And to serve God, it has nothing really to do with you. You're just kind of carrying it. You're kind of being the hands of God, the feet of God, the mouth of God. So when we sing, make me a servant just like your son, for he was a servant, please make me one. Make me a servant, do what you must do to make me a servant. Make me like you. If you would, please join me in the singing of the second verse of this song. Make me a servant. Take all my pride. To be the greatest, Jesus showed that. And not only to show, but He taught that we have to serve. That we must serve in order to be great, in order to be thought of something of value. We have to serve others. And in Mark chapter 10, it tells kind of the same story that is found in Matthew chapter 20. A little bit of difference in who prompted the conversation, but the same point nonetheless. In verse 20 it says this, then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down asked a favor of Him. What is that you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of my two sons of mine may sit at your right hand and the other on your left in your kingdom. You do not know what you are asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup that I am going to drink? He asked him, he says, are you really wanting to do what you're asking to do? Are you that committed? Are you biting off more than you can chew, like I brought up earlier? Do you understand the things that you're wanting? You're wanting to be the greatest. You want to sit at my right and my left hand. That's what you want. Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink? Can you follow me? They had a little cocky response, didn't they? They said, oh, we can. We can do it. We've followed you all along this way. I mean, what's going to stand in our way a little bit longer? We are able, says some versions. And Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. And these places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. And when the other 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. And Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give His life as a ransom for many. Jesus' message to the world was not the fact that I'm your king, you bow down to me. But rather, this is what I'm willing to do for you. This is what I'm going to give up for you. I'm willing to give up my life. I'm willing to serve you in every way. I'm willing to help you and to love you and to show you that God loves you, our Father in heaven. So when we understand this, that we have to swallow our pride. And that's the song. The request within the song is to take all my pride. Take it away. If we're going to be a servant, we must humble ourselves, giving to others over ourselves. Number 384, we'll sing just the fourth verse of Lead Me to Calvary. Taking all my pride requires me to give up that me mentality that so many people within our society are infiltrated with. What's in it for me? What am I going to get out of it? I'm doing this so that I can get help others to help myself. Rather, we need to humble ourselves from the inside, to humble ourselves, to give it up, to do the little things, to do the little things to do the work to glorify God. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, it says, carry each other's burdens, and this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks of himself something when they are not, they deceive themselves. We are nothing before God. And we request that He take all my pride, for I would be lowly, humble inside, giving to others with all that I do, in love for my brother, make me like you. We'll sing the third verse of number 97, the servant song. It's filled with by your might. To be filled with the Spirit. To have that indwelling of the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the power of God. To understand the things that we are doing, we will not tire in if we're really filled by His might. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. The message of Jesus was one that showed us how to be a servant, to serve others and to love God. We should be filled with the same likeness, that we would be filled with the might, with His might. And so that we must know that our labors shine not because of what we do, but because rather we are a reflection of Christ. And so when people see us doing the work or see us carrying out the service that we do for our brothers, for our sisters, for this community, and for the world, they see Jesus. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We do these things not for the pleasing of men, not so everyone can look at us and give us a pat on our back, but rather we do these things to glorify our Father so that other people may see Him living in us. We do these things learning from our Master, from our God, walking in His footsteps. And we do that to honor Him, not to honor man, not to man be glad that we do what we do, but rather to bring Him glory and to bring Him honor. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. When we set out to do something, we do it as children of God. Remembering our name that we wear, that name of Christian. People see us and we represent Christ. People see us and we represent this church. The church as a whole is the kingdom of God, but we represent this church here at Ephesus. And people see us and they go, hey, he does that work, and that's one of them Christians from over there at Ephesus. If that's what she acts like, that's what all the rest of them act like, I don't want anything to do with that. But remember, when you do those things for God. And you represent Him. And people look at you and they go, well, that's a Christian. That's what I want to be like. That's what I want to be like. They love God. They're filled with that Spirit. And when we are filled with the Spirit, we have the strength and we have the endurance to keep on keeping on. Maybe when we feel tired, when we feel weak, when we feel like giving up, we get rejuvenated. And we get re-inspired to keep on keeping on, because we know that we're doing the work of God. And that nothing that we could encounter in our life could trump that. Nothing that we could embrace could ever be greater than embracing the love of God and working all the way until our days are done. We'll sing number 743. Number 743, we'll work till Jesus comes. If you'd like to, you may stand. to be filled by His might. You know, a lot of times opportunity will knock, but it's up to us to be available. We jam-pack our schedules in this high-paced, fast-moving, microwave society in which we live in that we don't have time to stop and help anybody. Because I got to go here, I got to go there, I got to move, I got to be on the move because I don't want to be behind. And so there may be opportunities that come along and we see and I go, you know, I wish I could, but I can't because I've got to go over here. I wish I could stop and help them with that flat tire, but I'm running late. We're like that old rabbit in Alice in Wonderland. I'm late, I'm late, I'm late. And so we're so filled and our schedules are so filled that we can't fulfill our opportunities when we have an opportunity to serve. It's up to us to make time and to be available. I can think of nothing greater to be late for or than to do good deeds for man. To do something for a brother or sister. To do something for the community. That they could see Jesus living in us. And there are many opportunities that we see and that are coming in the next few months. You know, we have Vacation Bible School. We have opportunities to visit the sick, to teach the lost, fix meals, to send letters of encouragement, to pray with and to pray for others. We can teach a Bible class. Men should serve publicly, and we could check on the shut-in or those in nursing homes. We could clean houses or yards. And Haley's thinking, you could clean our house or clean our yard. That'd be a great thing for you to do. We could love on the old, love on the young, to let people know that I'm right there with you. You're not alone in your journey. You're not alone with your struggles. You're not alone in your attempt to walk the life that God wants you to walk. And it's good to know all those things. When we think about all the different ways that we can serve, you know, it's good to know that we need to serve. And I think everyone in here understands that we need to serve other people. But all the more better if you do it. Because simply knowing it isn't enough. When Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, he finished up there, and a few verses later said in verse 17, now that you know these things, now that you know this, you will be blessed if you do them. Now that you know that I have served you, you'll be blessed if you serve others as well. James chapter 1 and verse 22, and slightly a different angle, it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Knowing is just simply not enough. We have to do those things to be a servant, filled by your might. And may all my labors shine with your might. Show me your footsteps and what I should do for now and forever. Make me like you. Now it's a lot of the same way with souls. We have people that we know, even some here, that they know what they need to do. They know they need to obey the gospel. They know that, you know, I'm not a Christian. I know that I stand condemned before God because of my sins, and I know that that's something I need to do. Knowing is not enough. Knowing will not save you. It's going to be your obedience to the will of God. Continuing on where we left off in James chapter 1, it says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. There's no need to leave here tonight knowing you need to be a Christian and not doing it. Because we have water ready for you to be baptized into the remission of your, for the remission of your sins, for you to be forgiveness, to be baptized with the blood of Jesus Christ. So you could rise up a new creature. You could rise up in that newness of life. We're going to sing a song number 389, and if you are not a Christian and you want to be one, we invite you to do so. And we're going to stand, we're going to sing the song, and if you're not the servant that you want to be and you need to be rekindled, and you say, you know, I want to serve God. I know there's opportunities out there. I'm going to be available. I want to serve. And I'm going to do those things. Then you come forward to praying, and we'll pray for you. And we'll ask for God's forgiveness for you on your behalf. And so if you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.